gasoline. The Wake Up Call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now with your host, Rick Moore.
I promise I'm here. Rusty Sempre giving me the early show challenge. What's up with that, Rusty? Why you feel the need to be doing that to me? Yeah, trying to help. Well, help, that's a good part for today because we'll be talking about help through the work part of life. Let's introduce our guests. But once again, Rusty giving me that early morning challenge because you know what? Sometimes it's good to blame others. When it's obvious out there, and when people can't see it, it's good to blame others. I hope my parents aren't listening to that. Let's go across the board and introduce our guest, Elizabeth Bolden Clopton. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
Elizabeth is from the Virginia Workforce Center at the Charlottesville office.
That's correct. I'm the manager. Center manager there.
Yes. Thank you so much. We also have... Joyce Robbins, she's the president of Robbins Staffing Solutions here in Charlottesville. Good morning.
Good morning.
And let's see, over here, trapped in the corner, where he's pretty much unable to escape, we have Galloway Beck. He's the director of City of Charlottesville's Human Resources Department.
Good morning, Rick.
Thank you so much, all three of you, for being with us. We are going to spend the day talking about job hunting a variety of ways. We have Joyce talking about temporary jobs and finding the employee with the proper employer, correct? I think
matching.
You said something about matching, made me think of dating.
Well, it's sort of like that, but we also do permanent placements of jobs and recruiting, so not just temporary.
And we have Galloway, Mr. Beck from the City of Charlottesville in the Human Resources Department, representing the business and the human resources and what they do to pick out the proper employee to match you to someone who needs a job with a permanent place. Elizabeth from the Virginia Workforce Center, we're going to be talking about what is offered for those who need it in terms of bettering yourself, preparing yourself, making yourself more available and desirable by a human resources department or a business like Joyce Robbins. So stretch out the fingers, get the phone numbers ready so you can dial up later. That's 979-0919, 979-0919. And then if you need the toll-free number, because again, a lot of this information is fit for anyone. This is not just because Galloway's from the City of Charlottesville. Those of you in Richmond or Lexington or down south of town, still important for you too. All the things that you can find in the Virginia Workforce Center or the information and how to better your resume, also important. So that's toll-free. It's 877-WNRN-ROCKS. That's 877-WNRN-ROCKS. And the local 979-0919. Again, so our guests today, Joyce Robbins, Elizabeth Bolden Clopton, and Galloway Beck. I'm going to toss this out to all three of you. I think everyone knows that the economy has changed drastically in the last 3 to 4 years. And so that means the job market has changed as well, at least in my opinion. How has the employment market changed, not just in the last 3 years, but in the last 10 or 20 years in terms of who's needed and what the employees need to do to make themselves more desirable? Galloway, you up first.
Okay, thanks. That's a good question, and I'll start back with, I'll say, 10 years, because some of the same things are there. I think what you see since the economy has slowed, more than slowed, where we are now, there's more competition for the same jobs. But I think employers still have looked always for the same types of characteristics. Individuals who have the skills, who are going to be competitive when they are applying with other individuals applying for jobs. And we talked a little bit before the show about things that if you were applying for a job, what the city that you'd be looking for. And typically for a job, an administrative job, we may get 50 to 100 applications. We require all applications to be submitted online. You can submit a resume and a cover letter to go along with that. And from that, we'll determine whether you get an interview. One important thing is just starting is with that, with the application or the resume, take the time to make sure that what you present is correct. There are no typographical errors. We've gotten applications from individuals who they were staying. Those are not going to get assessed because if that individual is saying it's not important enough for me to get you something that's presentable, it's likely they will demonstrate those same kinds of characteristics when they're on the job. So the supervisor or manager who's reviewing that application will probably not consider it seriously, and especially when they've got a number of others who can. So I think the importance of those kinds of paying attention to those kinds of details, and I'll stop and let the other two guys speak. But the other is keeping skills current and flexible. I mean, computer literacy used to be something that one might come to a job and expect that the employer would teach you how to do. Now that's the expectation is that you will come in the door with those kinds of skills. Not that you will be a network engineer, but that you will have some familiarity, some level of literacy, with how to use Word and BASIC. And that's why, for example, with the Workforce Center, those kinds of resources and making sure that all of us take advantage of them. I would also say that one of the things to do is before we get to the point where we might be looking for another job is maintaining those skill sets as we go along. So not just assume that because I've completed high school or an associate's degree or a four-year or a master's that I can stop. So maintaining current literacy skills, computer skills, is something we'd do.
Joyce, you know, we're talking about how the market has changed. I don't know if it's correct or not, but it seems to me that the business that you are currently president of, Robbins Staffing Solutions, hasn't the business name changed in the last handful of years?
Well, actually, yes. I've started Robbins Staffing Solutions 5.5 years ago, and before that I was with another staffing company. But I've been in the industry for about 15 years, so I have had an opportunity to see sort of the trends up and down. But to answer your question, I think what we're seeing is it's really like real estate. It's supply and demand. And who has the upper hand? And, of course, right now, with so many people looking for work and so few jobs, the employers sort of have the upper hand. So we see trends come and go. And historically in the past, we've seen short dips in employment, but nothing like we have seen recently. And so it's just a different time and place that we're in right now.
But
a lot of trends.
You know, when we talk about how the market has changed, has the tell me, first of all, what sort of employee Robbins Staffing Solutions? I think for many of us, myself included, you think of a temporary job. You think of someone in an office assistant type job. And I don't know if that's correct or not, but my expectation would be that the abilities would have changed as well, whether or not it's just a greater amount of computer skills and then a fewer number of overall positions because, as people say, so much of it has been sent off to other countries and, you know, and sent away, and the reduced number of positions in a business as you try and cut down on your staff. Any of that true?
Yes, exactly. There is some truth to that. As a matter of fact, I talked to clients that I am surprised to learn that they're sending some of their accounting functions out of the country. This is not common, I don't think, in our local area, but it certainly is possible. So, for example, you mentioned our business actually does probably 90% of our temporary business is clerical office, administrative jobs, that sort of thing. So the other part of it, though, is that we do professional, we call it professional placement or recruiting. And so we do place people in finance and accounting, in customer service and management positions. But the majority of our business at the current time is on the temporary side.
Now, Elizabeth, also with us today, Elizabeth Bolden Clopton, who's the manager of the Charlottesville office, Virginia Workforce Center. The manager role for you is fairly new, but you've been in this type of business for quite some time, correct?
That is correct.
So what have you seen going on?
I think a lot of what we're seeing is what Beck mentioned, that we're seeing people who are don't have as many skills.
All right, I'm going to need you to get closer to that mic.
We are seeing people who have been in manufacturing jobs, for instance, who have not developed the computer skills necessary to compete in the market. We're seeing that people who are less computer literate do not use the internet effectively as a job-seeking skill. We have a lot of different services available. When people think of the Workforce Center, I think they predominantly think about unemployment insurance. But we have other things, and we do have those resume building classroom classes. We have workshops for how to write a resume, how to interview, how to present yourself well during an interview, and what type of clothing to wear. We have individuals who simply don't have the wardrobe necessary or the funds necessary to do that. So we assist them with building an interviewing presentation.
All right, hang on for a second because the wiring there, I'm going to let Rusty fiddle with that for a second while we get you set. It's certainly clear to me that that is not up to speed like the others or something. He's decided to take a Sunday brunch break real quick. So let me go back to Galloway. When you talk about different positions in the system, actually, Elizabeth, say 1, 2, 3 for me real quick.
1, 2, 3?
No. One more time.
1, 2, 3.
Yeah. One more time.
1, 2, 3.
All right. We got it there. All right. Thank you, Rusty. Thank you, Elizabeth. See, these are my skills, and I'm currently unemployed. Did anybody catch that, by the way? Galloway, we're talking about the skills that people need, and Elizabeth was talking about having a good resume. You guys were talking about not sending your resume out stained and other things. What are the best methods for job hunting? I know the city of Charlottesville has an online required system to use. Why do you use that, and how does the employee identify the special skills that they might have outside of just filling in the blank and putting a click in that box?
Let me speak to why we use it. I think, and I think what you'll find if you're talking about other large employers, the university, Kroger, it's a trend that many employers have gone to. And to some extent, it goes to the fact that in the city, I mean, over the last 5 years, if you look at the number of positions that we've added, they've been fairly static. We've continued to hire, but it's basically been to fill. It is, frankly, more cost-effective to use that as a way of collecting and getting applications. It also provides, I think, greater access in some ways. And it really speaks to the fact that if you're applying for a job with the city, whether that's as a civil engineer, or if you're applying for a job in parks and recreation, helping to maintain the parks, some degree of computer skills and literacy is there. We do have in the office and access throughout in the libraries terminals for people who may not have that in their homes to use, and there's assistance available through VEC at the Workforce Center, at the library. Those things are there. And you had a second part of the question. What was that, Rick?
Well, as the, you know, for so many people, when you use an electronic, so many businesses nowadays are only accepting resumes and applications in an electronic manner.
And thank you. We require you to complete the application, but you can attach a resume and a cover letter to that. And one of the things, and as a matter of fact, with the last job fair we had, there were volunteer coaches that came out and met with people, and I was one of those. And one of the things I encourage people to do is, even if you're just filling out the application, regardless of the job, include a cover letter, because that's your opportunity to market. So if I know, if I'm applying for a job, whatever that job is, I can go beyond just the information to include in the application. I can make sure that whoever is going to read it, whether that's someone in the human resources or in the department, these are the things I want you to know. We've probably all heard about the 5-minute elevator speech. This is the opportunity basically to say, these are the things you need to know about me, and it can make the difference between getting an interview, not necessarily the job, but getting an interview and not, and distinguish you between the other person. I would encourage people, if you're in that, if you have been out of the job market for whatever reason, and sometimes it's because we've been working in a job for 20 or 30 years, we retire, and now we're looking to move on to a another job, get the assistance in honing and polishing that resume and that cover letter, and so you enhance your chances with that.
All right, let me take a moment and thank Dixon Disposal for their support today. Dixon reminds you that you can reduce your household garbage by purchasing products with reuse and recycling in mind. Small changes in your lifestyle can keep our planet green for years to come. And when Dixon's picks up your trash, they sort and separate it for recycling. You can help the planet stay green with curbside service from Dixon Disposal at your home or business. Call them up 978-2111. Online, it's DixonDisposal.com. Our guest today, again, Galloway Beck. He's the director of City of Charlottesville's Human Resources. Elizabeth Bolden-Clopton, she's the manager at the Virginia Workforce Center. Maybe we'll be able to hear her, actually, in just a moment. And Joyce Robbins, she's the president of Robbins Staffing Solutions. Elizabeth, let's try that again with a new and different microphone so that the guests can actually hear all the skills that you're talking about. Galloway was talking about sending in the cover letter. All right, so now lean into that microphone. I realize that you're not in the most comfortable position, but those of the folks listening need to hear this. The cover letter.
It's very important, as Mr. Beck said, it's your marketing tool. It's a way to send your resume out ahead of the rest. You can say, these are my special skills. This is the type of job I'm looking for. This is the experience I have, in a concise, short way. But something that gives it a little punch and says, here I am, look at my resume, I would be a great employee for your organization.
Is it, people always say, change the cover letter to match the job. Is that cheating the system a little bit?
I don't believe so. We talked about this a little bit before the program. Some companies now are using a tool that feeds the resume into a program, and it picks out keywords or key strands. So if you look at a job description and it says, we need somebody who can type 70 words a minute or word process at 70 words a minute, and you have that skill, you can put that piece of information in the way that they're asking for it, and then when they look at that, they say, oh, look, that skill matches up exactly for what we're looking for. You can do the same thing with your cover letter. What are the important things that that employer is looking for in the advertisement or the position posting that they have? And then pick out those things that match up with your skills and highlight those in your cover letter.
Joyce, that's not cheating the system. I mean, and again,
no.
It's the cover letter doesn't represent the individual writing it, because if I can type 70 words a minute, shouldn't that be in my cover letter anyway?
You want to be truthful. That's the most important thing. If you can, if, for example, like Elizabeth said, you need to type 70 words per minute to get this job, then if you cannot type 70 words a minute, don't say that. But if you do, what I think the point she's making is that here's a terrific way to make sure that you get noticed, is not only have that, it, maybe it's not on your resume that you can type 70 words a minute, but you would put it in your cover letter. So that those key information would be picked up by a computer that's scanning the resumes, or some intern that is reviewing resumes or reviewing the information online. In 2 seconds, they're looking at it, looking for key points. But I think there's a lot of misinformation out there about cover letters. As a matter of fact, I've read online many places that recruiters, for example, say, don't worry about a cover letter because I don't read them, so they're a waste of time. But the three of us here, I think, all agree that a cover letter is a very powerful piece of information that in Charlottesville, it's still important, and it's an opportunity and a way for you to expand on the resume and to say, here's what I'm really about, or here are my strengths. But I do caution people to only mention about 3 points, and this is important to do ahead of time, to think about what are the 3 key, or maybe 4 at the most, but 2 to 3 points that I want to make, and whether or not you're saying, I'm moving to the area, or this is a skill that I've developed because of whatever reason. But whatever those points are, to mention that in your cover letter.
All right, I want to get back to that because I find that to be interesting news that I hadn't read anywhere in preparing my cover letters. But it is 11:22 here on the Wake Up Call. Let me give you the markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Mostly sunny today, highs in the mid-60s. Mostly cloudy tonight, lows 40 to 45. Right now, it's a beautiful sunny day out there in the valley. 46, 54 in Lynchburg, 58 in Richmond, 52 in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And sports today also coming from the backyard, UVA Corner's Culinary Secret at the end of Elliott Avenue. The backyard has a seasonal menu, daily specials, and a rotating list of beers on tap. Backyard is now open on Sundays, serving brunch and then a pub food menu until close. You can call them for more information, 434-202-8215, thebackyarduva.com, and there's a Facebook page. All right, back to our guest today, Galloway Beck from Charlottesville's Department of Human Resources, Joyce Robbins, president of the local Robbins Staffing Solutions, and Elizabeth Bolden-Clopton, manager of Virginia Workforce Center Charlottesville office. Elizabeth, I don't want to get into all of them at the moment, but I know that there are a large number of services offered at the Workforce Center, including resumes and cover letters?
That's correct. We have number of resource room assistants who will help you write your resume, help you write your cover letter, help you sharpen your resume if you already have one to address the current employment needs in the area. We have interviewing assistants, so we teach you how to present yourself and do that sell. And we have individuals who work to provide you or help you focus on what is an appropriate outfit to wear to an interview. You want to present yourself in the best way possible. It is a way for you to stand out from the crowd. My son, when he was 16 years old, went to an interview in a pressed shirt and a tie, and that made all the difference. Other kids were applying for the job in t-shirts. I mean, that's a silly example for a child to do that, but that got him the job, and that's what happens to people that come into the center. They're not quite sure how to dress or what to say, and we help them sharpen those skills. We also have computer classes, so the individuals that Mr. Beck was mentioning who may not be as computer literate as they need to be can come and get classes so that they can sharpen those job skills.
Joyce, what's it like to be someone looking for an office job in today's world? Because you talk about typing 70 words a minute, but so many of the jobs that I look for, I've said this before in case anyone's listening, yes, I'm unemployed, please call me. I always see, do you know MS Office? Do you know Excel and a handful of other computer software programs? Is that something that separates you out from someone who's going to make $10, $12 an hour versus someone who's going to make $8?
Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, most of our clerical or office jobs we could put into one category. We call it administrative jobs. And it is just impossible to get an administrative jobs without computer skills. So if you have no computer skills, then you need not apply, because there's just no job that does not require simple computer skills. For example, you mentioned Microsoft products or Microsoft Office. We test everyone on Word, Excel, keyboarding, and a myriad of other tests if they have those skills. But minimally, you need to be able to get onto the internet. You need to be able to look in Outlook. You need to be able to schedule a calendar item. Excuse me. If you have those skills and you're very good at when you are tested, you score well, then you're definitely what we would call an A candidate for administrative office support.
Again, our guest today, as we talk about job hunting, both the employers and the unemployed, or folks job searching, call us up if you have a question or a comment for our guest, Joyce Robbins, Elizabeth Bolden Clopton, or Galloway Beck. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN Rocks. Our guest today, I've asked questions about how the folks who are job searching, what you need to do to better yourself or make yourself more of an A candidate. I'd love to hear from people who are job hunting about ways that the system is causing you trouble, or ways that you can ask questions about how you can better yourself to work with the system and any problems that you have found. So again, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN Rocks for those in the toll-free zone. I want to know the electronic applications. And Galloway, you've talked about how that is the only way through the city, correct?
Correct.
Is it sensible anymore, Joyce and Elizabeth, for someone to walk in? Can you just walk in and hand in a resume anymore? Can you just mail one, Joyce?
Actually, we do allow that practice. We don't encourage it. However, we do feel that if someone does not have the ability to get on the computer and fill out information, that we have a paper application that we will allow people to use. Now, I know that not everyone does that, and I certainly understand the reasons for not doing it, because we do store all of our information on the computer. So if we get a paper application, then someone in my office has to type, literally go in and put all that information into our system. So I can understand people not doing it, but we are a small office and we can still accommodate someone filling out a paper application.
When we moved to the online application, we definitely had a concern about the impact that it might have on people coming to apply. What it found, and it doesn't mean that it's not there, is that I think people have adapted, as I said, and a part of it is because we actually lag behind. And a number of employers, that's the way that they have been for some time. We don't do, for example, resume scanning. We actually will send the applications out. But I think it's just a fact of kind of where we are, the technology's there. There's a benefit to the person applying as well, because if you're applying and there are two or three jobs that you want to apply for, rather than having to fill out a paper application for each of those jobs, once you set the account up, it's there and you can go in. And I do encourage you to modify it to apply for the additional job. So if it's so the title will change, there may be some factors, but your basic information is not going to change. So it makes it easier, but one caution as well, and this is, I'll go back to it with cover letters, don't do a form cover letter where you have a blank and say, dear to whom it may concern, I want to apply for, and then you write in. And the reason I say that is I see it, and some of it, I mean, the individuals involved, if they haven't been applying, again, it's why getting coaching, getting information about what you do, And I guess I would say, I'm going to say one other thing, and then I'll be quiet again. If you're applying for a job, it's doing some reality checks about the time frame within which to get a response. We have people who will sometimes apply on a Friday for the job. It closes at 5, and they will want to know when on Monday they will get a call about an interview.
Yes, and I do. I will.
Well, we're not quite that fast. And since there is a limited amount of time that any of us have, whether we're looking for a job, focus on jobs that you have the skills and background for. If we're looking for a chemical engineer, and we don't have chemical engineers, and you don't have an engineering degree, it's not going to be useful to you or to us for you to send that application in. But we do find people who sometimes will apply for jobs that they don't meet the minimum qualifications. Clearly they don't. And I'm not sure why they do it. I will add one other thing. If you're applying for a job, whether with the city or anything, get as much background information as you can about that employer. It really helps, even if you're calling up to say, can I speak to the supervisor who's going to be hiring? If you get to an interview, if you have information about what that organization does, what that job's going to entail, basically, certainly what's in the application, I'm sorry, in the job description. But if you can get other information as well, again, that's going to make you stand out. And it doesn't have to be a lot, but it can be that subtle difference, like with a tie. And we don't necessarily require ties for all jobs. Being neat and presentable if you come, and a piece of this, understand the culture you're moving into. So if coat and tie is what's required, then that's what you wear. And if it's more dressed down and casual, then know that. But I think you will always be safe coming overdressed than underdressed.
Yes,
I agree with
absolutely.
That.
Hey, Elizabeth, we're talking about some of the available things that are you can find at the Virginia Workforce Center.
I'd love to talk about that.
Thank you. We're from the applications. You have computers there. I got a question online, but talk about, because not everybody has a computer, or at least not easily accessible to it. And I know from having been in the Workforce Center that there's a whole string, and there are people to help.
That's correct. We have a number of computers that are available for individuals. We have some that are specially adapted for individuals with visual impairment or other disabilities. We have coaches who are there to help you find your strong points and put those into the applications, how to make and email your resume and cover letter. We have fax machines there so people can use those for their job search. If they don't have telephone access, we have telephones there that they can use. And some employers prefer to get it by fax. A lot of them prefer to get it electronically, and so we can help you with those things. We also have some social networking availability there.
Really?
Yes. We have a program called Good Prospects, and it's a community, an online community, somewhat like Facebook, where you can network with other individuals looking for jobs. They may have a job lead that you didn't hear about that you might be appropriate for that didn't quite fit what they were looking for. They can support each other, because I know when you're looking for a job, it feels like the weight of the world's on your shoulders. You've got no income, you start getting afraid, and that fear sets in, and it makes your stomach clench, and it makes you really, really not sleeping at night. And this is a way to say to other people out there, hey, I'm having this same problem. What did you find worked in this situation? Or what did you do when you went for an interview and you showed up at the wrong time and you had to apologize? But, you know, it's this community of people that support each other and help each other. And that's sort of what we find in total at the Workforce Center. We have services for individuals with disabilities. We have services for veterans who are looking for work or looking for what benefits are available to them. We have job placement programs where we will pay half of the salary, and the employer will pay the other half so that we can see if they work in that position. We have programs for older dislocated workers, for somebody over the age of 55. We have special programs for youth, 14 to 21. And, of course, our core services are for the individuals who are in between those age gaps. So we have an amazing array of services, and we have 2,000 or more people come through every month looking for those services.
Let me ask you a question. Again, 979-0919 or 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, 979-0919. And apparently BT Jackson knows you can send us an instant message, WNRN Studio, on the AOL instant message site. BT Jackson sent a question about the variety of electronic applications. The city has one. The county has a different one. The state of Virginia has yet another, even though you can find county and city jobs on the state of Virginia website. The University of Virginia Academic has one separate from the University of Virginia Health Department, although You can find things from the University of Virginia academic side can be found on the state. Why is that? Why can't the government sites all work together? Because as someone, and I'm assuming that BT is in my position, as in with other folks at the Virginia Workforce Center, as with folks that Joyce Robbins has come to her site and Galloway gets on the human resources side of things at the city of Charlottesville, you either have all kinds of time because you got nothing to do as you look for a job, or because you need a second job, or because the job that you have isn't the one that you really want. You know, it all takes time. Why can't it all be tied together? Why do the government jobs need five or six different applications?
Well, I can't speak to, well, I think you, it was with any employer that the information that you're looking for may differ, so you may have differences in the application. One thing that we do, and I would suspect that the university and probably the other public employers do as well, to make it easier, is that we post all of our jobs that we have with the Employment Commission. So if we have jobs, they will show up there. So the individual can go there and look at a whole wide range of public and private sector jobs. And you mentioned access to computers. If you're applying for a job with the city, you can come to Human Resources. We're on second floor in City Hall. And in the office there is a terminal that you can use to apply. The libraries also have those terminals, and they will also provide assistance in terms of doing it. In the ideal world, what you say, and perhaps at one time, some point, we will come to that. That's just not where we are now. And being able to have one platform where you can go and put in one job. I suspect that probably will come with the move toward cloud computing and a whole lot of other things.
All right, but I recognize our city of Charlottesville, and there's no one here from the University of Virginia. Why does UVA Academics need a separate application from University of Virginia medical side of things? Again, I realize that there are different spots needed, but in a computer technological world, there's got to be a way that you can fill out one application and they can divide up what they want. Joyce, I'll get right back to you. I need to thank Blue Ridge Graphics for supporting us today. You can find Blue Ridge Graphics at Meade Avenue and East High Street here in Charlottesville. They provide custom t-shirts and sportswear, plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. Blue Ridge Graphics, 434-296-9746. Online, it's brgt-shirts.com. Our guest today, again, Galloway Beck. He's the director of the City of Charlottesville's Human Resources Department. Elizabeth Bolden Clopton, manager from the Virginia Workforce Center here in the Charlottesville office. And Joyce Robbins, president of Robbins Staffing Solutions. And Joyce, you had something you wanted to comment about the variety of applications that are out there in a technological world.
I was just going to add that obviously I'm not in, can't speak to the government practices, that sort of thing. Galloway mentioned that. But in my view, I believe it's just the fact that every organization, whether they're a large company or a small company, they make a decision about what they want on their application and how they want it organized and how they want it stored. So everybody comes up with their own information. However, there are, of course, vendors out there, software vendors, that can sell you a package for an application. And so some people maybe utilize that sort of thing and tweak it a little. So it's just a matter of everybody thinks that their way is the way they want it done, is what I imagine. Thank you.
Thank you. Elizabeth?
I do think that the government is starting to look at it, at least from a federal standpoint. On November 3rd, we're having an event. It's a virtual hiring event sponsored by the Food and Drug Administration, and it's for individuals with disabilities or veterans, and it's a one application process for multiple government agencies. So at least at the federal level, we're seeing a little bit of that commingling of application needs, and I'm hoping that we do go more and more standardized as time goes on. It is discouraging to have to fill out 10 different, very intricate and very detailed forms to try and find a job, and it is an intense time utilization. You just, you know, yeah, it's one thing if you're not working, and it's a whole other thing if your job is going to be eliminated through downsizing or layoffs, and you know it's coming, you need to get going with those applications, and it is time consuming. But people need to know that, you know, that there are services out there, like Mr. Beck mentioned. You know, you can go to the terminal, you can go online. We have services for employers as well. If you have a specific job need and you need somebody to have specific training, we can put together training packages for you that give you the employees that are work ready and ready to come and do the skills that you need to have done. So if an employer has needs, the Virginia Workforce Center is for them as well. We have meeting places. We have you can set up interview space, but we will assist both sides. So if an employer has a need, or an employee has a need, or somebody that's just job seeking, we can help you put together a package that matches up the right employer with the right employees.
I need to take this next break real quick, but when I come back, I want to talk about changing careers and how the employee changes careers in vision of the employer. It is 11:42 on the Wake Up Call.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, take a look into the upcoming election and the balance of power. There are two contested seats on the Albemarle Board of Supervisors, and chances are your state house district has changes too. The Hook reports on the ongoing Eric Abscher murder trial and what is wrong with Virginia's state alcohol laws. The Hook, because it's still your choice. And support today coming from L. Oppelman's, Central Virginia's complete music headquarters, continuously operated since 1890 at 909 Main Street in downtown Lynchburg. L. Oppelman's music department now featuring acoustic guitars, banjos, mandolins, and violins, as well as electric guitar packages and complete drum sets. L. Oppelman, 909 Main Street, Lynchburg. Online, it's loppelman.com. And not that you would, but don't go anywhere, because at noon, it's Les Temps Purdue with Drew Thompson. Best of 80s and 90s alternative music, Bad Religion, Wall of Voodoo, and U2. Brought to you in part by Caliente. And Drew always makes requests welcome on Les Temps Purdue. All right, back to our guests today, Joyce Robbins, Elizabeth Bolden Clopton, and Galloway Beck. Galloway, real quick, fire away with what you were saying about being a volunteer.
Yes, you were asking about ways to enhance your chances of,
yes,
of being
changing careers.
Changing careers. If you're one way to look at and perhaps determine whether you want to change your career is to do some volunteer work for the organization or in the job that you are thinking about changing to. That's a way for the potential employer to get a look at you and for you to think about that yourself. The other is just look at the skill sets that you're going to need to move into that career and recognize that you may be coming into it competing with individuals who have been working at it for some time. So if I want to become a teacher, which is actually something that I'm thinking about in my next career I might want to do, but what's going to be involved with making that move, going back to school, getting a certification, reality checks about where jobs may be, am I going to have to move out of Charlottesville to get that job? And I think in today's job market, moving from where we are is something that we're going to have to consider, perhaps, to be employed, maybe to Richmond or maybe out of the state or out of the country.
Joyce?
I was going to say it's a good idea also to find someone in the position that you're thinking about, for example, like a teacher. Find a teacher that you can talk to and ask them about the opportunity, ask them about what their skill set is, find out what the pluses and minuses are, what is it they love about it, what they don't like about it, so that you get a real understanding of what you're headed for. I think that helps a lot.
Elizabeth, we've talked earlier in the program about changing your resume. How does someone with a career in one field that may not, you know, if Galloway's looking at my resume and what he sees is a career in food service and retail, how do I show him that even I'm looking for something different and find the tasks and skills that are usable in another career? How do I pull that out of my resume so he doesn't look at where I worked the last to jobs and set it aside?
Well, going back to that looking for matches between what the employer is looking for and the skills that you bring, you can pick out things like customer service. You mentioned retail. That's a customer service, interpersonal relationships. If you were a manager, it's how do I deal with helping people to become the best they can in their position. And, of course, you have to recognize that some job changes, such as Mr. Beck mentioned, going to be a teacher, are going to require additional education or skill enhancement. And so we have those programs as well at the Virginia Workforce Center. We see a lot of individuals, the dislocated worker program. These are people who have worked in one industry all of their life, and they're finding that those jobs are dwindling or they're not available in the area. And so they have to kind of take a step back and say, where are my strengths? Where are my skills? What have I done in my life that would apply to this new job that I'm looking for? If you need training and education, we have programs that will provide that for you. So come down to the Virginia Workforce Center, see what we have to offer and how employers and employees can come together in one place and help you determine what you need. We do market analyses, and we can say if you want a job in technology or science or math, you're going to need an advanced degree. So how do we help you get to that point? What can we do to support you in enhancing your job skills?
Go ahead, Joyce.
I was going to say resumes, you can write your resume differently as well. For example, there's chronological resumes that mention the exact job history that you've had, but there's also another form of resume called the functional resume, which a lot of people are learning about, and that is whereby you talk about your major skill sets, and you can just elaborate on the interpersonal skills or the management skills or the customer service skills and mention those first. And then at the end of your resume, put your work history in a more abbreviated format. That helps.
That's Joyce Robbins, from President of Robbins Staffing Solutions. We also have Elizabeth Bolden-Clopton here. She's the manager of the Charlottesville, Virginia Workforce Center, and Galloway Beck, director of Charlottesville City's Human Resources Department. Let me thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports real quick for their support. Happiness is their priority. At Blue Ridge, you can return gear and apparel purchases at any time for any reason. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports, located in Barracks Road here in Charlottesville, they have 3 Richmond locations. For more store information, brms.com. A quick question for everybody. Although, because again, I've seen this online, a discussion, and I've had this discussion with friends. You're unemployed. You were formerly making $20 an hour. You were a salaried employee making a good amount. And this was my friend who started this, a friend of mine who's also unemployed. I promise not to use your name, Sarah. And job hunting. And the job offer, or the expected job offer, the job that she got into, or had all the, presented her resume, had all the interviews about, never any discussion of pay. That's the next question, is how do you get into this? And then in the end, it turned out to be $9 an hour. She can't live off $9 an hour. So do you take the job and then continually look for something else? Or do you turn it down? Which is more important? Having a job, be current on your resume, where is it? Joyce, you raised your hand first.
I've seen it work both ways, but I definitely encourage people not to take a job that they don't want. For example, you're going to be dissatisfied, you're going to be looking, and I personally think about the employer. The employer, unless they just need somebody on a temporary basis to fill a project or something, they do not want to hire a person that's going to be there and constantly looking for another job. So therefore, I talk to many of my client employers who say, no, I don't want someone overqualified. If they've been making $20 an hour, I'm only offering $9. That's not a good match. However, the candidates constantly are telling me, oh, I'll take it, just because I need a job. So my goal, and at Robbins Staffing, we continually try and make a good match so that it will be a long-term solution, not just a temporary one.
Elizabeth?
I wanted to talk about that as well. We have individuals who are certainly in that situation, and they take the $9 an hour job. Sometimes it's a good time to use that time to enhance your skills, to go back to school, to learn another trade. Those are things that you can do to switch into the different career, as Mr. Beck mentioned, where you change careers. And that time can help you to focus your skills, to do an analysis of employment trends in the area. If you want to become a teacher, and we're overrepresented by teachers in this area, that might not be where you want to focus your efforts. But we can help you figure that out at the Workforce Center. We look at employment trends, we look at your skill set, and we look at where you want to be. Where do you want to be in 5 years? Where do you want to be in 10 years? Sometimes that focus on, I need a job right now, kind of makes you short-sighted. So we try to help you look long-term as well. What is it that will make you satisfied as you move toward your retirement? You know, what is it that you want career-wise? How much satisfaction will you get in the career that you're developing?
It's Elizabeth Bolden-Clopton from Virginia Workforce Center, Joyce Robbins. A moment ago from Robbins Staffing. Joyce, real quick.
I was just going to say, actually, I would recommend that anyone going in to interview for a job have an understanding of what that job is paying before you ever get to an interview. So that's certainly a major point that you want to know up front.
But Galloway Beck from the City of Charlottesville, sometimes that's hard because it's not listed anywhere. You have no clue. You can do all the background research you want on the City of Charlottesville, but pay for positions is not always listed, is it? And then how do you bring up the discussion so that it doesn't seem like that's the first thing that you jump into?
Well, the specific salary you may receive won't, but all of our jobs that we put will have a hiring range. And it will say, the city supports a living wage. So you know that the least that you will come to work for a job in the city is $10.73 an hour. The job description in the ad will list the starting range for that. Doesn't mean that you won't get more, but that's the minimum.
You can
figure it out. And if you were to call HR and Human Resources and say, it says $10.73 an hour, do you usually pay more? The person can give you an idea about that. And there's nothing wrong with that. No, I wouldn't encourage you to go into the interview and say, how much are you going to pay me? But it's also good to know and have in your own mind what your minimum is in terms of something that's acceptable. And so if getting $10.73 is not something that's acceptable to you, then don't put your energy into that. And you are going to get into situations where sometimes what's offered is not what's going to be acceptable. And I hear what both Elizabeth and Joyce have said. And it is a tough situation. Mm-hmm. And I'll do one quick personal anecdote. Back in 1984, I was out of work for a year. Went through all of the things that you were talking about, had a bachelor's, a master's, and working on a PhD, probably got 75 letters from different employers. Some said overqualified, some didn't say anything back. It is frustrating, so I can appreciate very much what's there. But in fact, did persist, didn't take some of the things that I could have done, and eventually ended up working in a job that was very satisfying. That was a different market, different time. Didn't have a family. I was with my current wife, and she actually helped support me. So gave me some alternatives. And I think each individual really has to evaluate kind of where they are at that particular point in time. But if you're going to take a job, be prepared to stay with it. And if you take it because you need to be there, then do the best you can. Because in the long run, that's going to help you. And you never know, even if you take it at that $9, where that may lead to. That may be just the entry point for you. But if you take it, you're disgruntled with it, for whatever reason, you end up leaving that job under unfavorable circumstances, that will be something that's going to be in your work history. So you want to avoid that. And even if you decide to leave, do it in a way that's good for both of you.
11:55 on the wake-up call. This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg talking about job hunting for the employer and the employee. Joyce?
I was just going to add that there are many lower-paying jobs. For example, if you are willing to take, for example, a lower-paying job, there are many out there that you could take that wouldn't be that would be more of a temporary position that would sort of get you through. But you don't want to take a permanent position that someone is trying, an employer is trying to fill a permanent position long term, and you're looking at it like a temporary position. That never works out.
A few minutes left here with our guests today, with our discussion about job hunting. So, next question's for one person only. All right. Joyce, what does an employer want to hear during the interview?
An employer wants to hear what you will do, as opposed to what you can do. For example, many people come in and they're going to give you all of their attributes and say, oh, yes, I know about that. I know about that. I can do that. I can do that. But they want to know what you actually really will do. And those are two very different things. So be prepared going into an interview to be able to explain what you actually will be able to sell or do for this employer, because they want to know, what am I going to get here?
Elizabeth, the emotions that you see on the unemployed side of the equation?
Wow, those are very many. Some people are energized and they're ready to look for a job. Some people have been so discouraged by the system that they're ready to give up. We have people who come in and who are very afraid that they're going to lose their housing or they're not going to be able to provide for their family. And so we want to encourage them to come down, check out the Workforce Center. We have services for veterans. We have services for the disabled. We have services for adult workers. We have GED classes right on site, and they're all free. All of our services are no charge. So if you're discouraged and if you're tired, come down and help us re-energize that job search and help you get the job that you're looking for.
I will say real quick, I went to a course at BEC where some folks were gathered together, and during that time, of the 15 people who were there, we had to introduce ourselves and sort of tell a brief background story. Everybody turned to the other person and said, oh, that's what you're doing? I know this bit of information. You should check that out. Did you see this ad? It was very, it was nice to feel like you had other people cover your back, because the word that you didn't say, humiliating.
I agree with you.
And that's a big part of it for someone who's never gone through this before. Quick question back to Joyce, and the last one for Beth. Joyce, real quick, a caller wants to know, what are the time ranges for temporary versus permanent jobs?
Temporary can last anywhere from a day or a half day up to most of them last 3 months. We do have some that have been as much as a year.
Okay. Galloway, you get the last question here. Important parts about a job reference.
First of all, make sure that if you're going to list someone as a reference, that they know that you're going to list them as. No, I'm serious, because sometimes where the person said, why did they list me as a reference? So make sure that they know that they're going to list you as a reference. They may or may not share with you what they're going to say. We will also understand as well that with reference checks, and we do them, if you give us the three references we ask for, we will ask you to authorize reference checks with other people that you may not have identified, your supervisor, other people. So be aware that that's there. And when you're putting in your application, or if there are issues in your employment history, be prepared to speak to those. You don't necessarily have to apologize on there. But the key thing with the references, have references for people who are going to share with that person calling the key important points about you as an individual, personal, professional, in terms of the work that you've done. And really, they should be able to say, these are the three things that, in working with Galloway, in doing similar work, I've experienced that I know about him or her, about him in this case. So that's what I would say about that.
All right. Thanks to all three of you for coming in today. That's Elizabeth Bolden-Clopton. She is the manager at the Virginia Workforce Center here in Charlottesville. Very easy to find, a large building. Stop by, see what they have to help you with. Joyce Robbins, president of Robbins Staffing Solutions, always accepting people to come see if you can match them with their next date in the career field. Galloway Beck from the city of Charlottesville. Go online, fill out the application, see what they have available for you there. Show will be recorded and podcast later in the week in case you missed something by tuning in all too late for the program. Drew Thompson up next. Thank you.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon Gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@AOL.com or at wakeupcall@WNRN.org. The wake-up call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.